His talents lay in his unique people skills. He had moved into Skull Valley at the head of a band of heavily armed, no-mercy Blackhearts. With brutality and intimidation, he'd quickly turned the disorganized squatters into his agricultural slaves and crowned himself Baron. After taking over the outlets for beans and corn that the farmers had established, Doyle changed the nature of the business. Instead of selling corn for food, he boiled it down for its sugar, which he used to distill a highly alcoholic beverage. In Deathlands, where any escape from the hardship and terror of daily life was greatly prized, his joy juice was a high-demand, high-profit item. Over the years, Doyle also perfected his own version of Jolt. He started by cultivating opium poppies, then traded the black tar heroin he manufactured for a stockpile of pre-dark pharmaceutical and industrial chemicals, the makings of crystal methadrine. His Jolt recipe was a super addictive combination of narcotic and stimulant, with a little mind-burst mushroom thrown in for its hallucinatory effects. The rad-mutated fungus was one of the few living things that thrived inside the thermoglass monolith. The success of this product had earned Doyle the nickname Baron Jolt. To service and expand his operation, he maintained a fleet of gas and diesel-powered vehicles, which weren't cheap to maintain. The distribution of the goods and collection of profits required a standing army. Minutes ago, it was one of the largest and most far-reaching enterprises in Deathlands. Now, it was history.
Come on, Baron! Snap out of it! Hurry up!
In the feeble, flickering torchlight, Baron Doyle ran for his life. He ran past seeping tunnel walls lined with barrels and crates, his suddenly useless cache of arms, ammunition, joy juice, and Jolt. Kappa Wastelick was right behind him. At the mountain end of the corridor, a steel ladder led up through a vertical tunnel hacked into the rock. It was a long climb in darkness to the sealed hatch at the top of the shaft. Doyle turned the small locking wheel, shoved the hatch open, and scrambled out into the bright sunshine, followed by his second-in-command. 500 feet below their position, the black flying machines hovered above the casino, spitting, shrieking bolts of green light. The aircraft had twin rotors, a large one on top of the fuselage, and a slightly smaller one spinning perpendicular to it at the tail.
The fucking cavalry!
Wastelick nudged the Baron. Two Sekhmen slunk along the backside of one of the outbuildings. Both carried fully extended olive-green rocket launchers. Reaching the building's corner, they shouldered the laws, stepped out, and fired upward at nearly point-blank range. The pair of rockets got within 10 feet of their stationary targets, then abruptly veered off, corkscrewing away.
Fuck!
They exploded harmlessly out in the Skull Valley green and pink poppy fields. One of the gyroplanes immediately broke off its attack on the casino, banked in a tight circle, and swooped down.
Double fuck!
Oh, shit! Let's get the fuck out of here!
The unsuccessful rocketeers dumped the spent law tubes and took to their heels. They didn't get far. As the flying machine swept over them, a black net dropped from its belly, scooping them up, then dragging them along the ground. Meanwhile, another gyroplane stopped firing and abruptly climbed, heading straight for the Baron and his second-in-command.
They've seen us!
There was no cover among the low boulders. Doyle turned and dashed up the narrow mountain trail. Before he'd climbed 70 feet, a dark shadow passed over him, followed by a gust of wind and a fall of stinging mist. When Doyle looked up, he saw the glittering spray jetting from a nozzle at the rear of the aircraft.
Shit!
As he ran on, he covered his nose and mouth with his good hand and tried not to breathe. It didn't make any difference. After a few steps, he became tangle-footed. Then his legs gave way beneath him, and he hit the ground, hard. He lay there, fully conscious, heart thudding in panic, but unable to move his arms or legs or raise his head. The flying machine returned, its prop wash whipping his back as it slowly descended. A mechanical claw reached down and caught Doyle by the ankle. It jerked him up and deposited him in the waiting net. Moments later, both he and Kappa Wastelick were unceremoniously dumped in the middle of the casino parking lot.
What the hell's going on here, Baron?
How the fuck should I know?
It took some 20 minutes for Doyle to recover the full use of his limbs. By that time, all of the surviving Sekhmen and agri-slaves had been rounded up, either by gyroplane or ground forces, and deposited in the parking lot. Close to 100 captives sat cross-legged on the ground. Most of them kept their eyes downcast, afraid to look at the inhuman black figures that surrounded them. Though Doyle was afraid too, more afraid than he'd ever been in his life, he had to see and understand what had brought down his hard-won enterprise. Almost all of the attackers were over 6 feet tall. Their outer covering, which he'd first taken for a muddy insect shell, on closer inspection looked more like some kind of synthetic full-body armor. The black material was segmented to allow free movement. The hands were protected by gauntlets made of the same stuff, the feet by overlapping plates. The smoke-colored wraparound visors on the fronts of their helmets concealed their faces from view. There was no way to tell whether they were Norm or Muti. Their massive-looking long blasters were a bullpup design, with a single claw-toothed flash hider over the muzzles of the three barrels. The weapons either weren't heavy, or these creatures were incredibly strong.
They're goddamned aliens.
Doyle estimated there were at least 75 of the bastards. More than enough, considering their firepower and defenses. As terrifying as the light weapons were, it was their defenses that shook his mind to its core. Bullets couldn't be deflected without first striking a solid object, nor could law rockets. What he'd seen with his own eyes made absolutely no sense. As he sat there, he tried to puzzle it out and failed. Two more enormous black wags rolled up to the parking area. They towered over the attack vehicles.
What now?
Their single trailers were longer than a triple semi, and their tractors were the size of earth movers. The combined weight of the two trucks cracked the ancient pavement like a thin glaze of ice. As soon as the vehicles had stopped, some of the black creatures rushed over and began unrolling long hoses from them, which they then coupled to the parked wags and aircraft. Doyle concluded that they were being refueled. Without any apparent signal, the rest of the creatures began separating the captives into two groups at blaster point.
You! Over here!
Don't hurt me! Please! Don't hurt me!
A pair of them loomed over Doyle, looking closely at his injured hand for a moment before walking on. The slaves and Sekhmen who'd lost a leg or an arm, or who had been blinded or severely brain-damaged, about 30 in all, were brutally dragged away from the others, to the far side of the parking lot. They didn't go quietly. When the prisoners had been divided, one of the creatures stepped between the two groups. It stopped in the middle of the parking lot, and a disembodied, electronic-sounding voice boomed forth.
I want obedience. If I don't get it...
It made a sweeping gesture toward the wounded.
No! No! Not me! Please!
Four black monsters with tanks strapped to their backs unclipped the nozzles on their hips and strode through the injured, squirting a creamy yellow foam over them. The yellow foam dissolved both flesh and bone on contact. As it was heaped upon the feebly struggling wounded, it melted them like guttering brown candles into so much sticky goo. When the foam stopped bubbling and shrank away, all that was left of 30 human beings was a slowly spreading wet spot on the asphalt.
You will perform hard labor for me. If you meet your individual daily quotas, you'll be given water. If you don't, you'll go without. If you fail to meet your work quotas 3 days in a row, you will be foamed. Where's the Baron of this place? Is he still alive?
Oh, shit.
There he is!
That's the bastard right there!
Yeah, that's him!
Fuckers.
Charlie Doyle rose shakily to his feet. He could see his own reflection in the surface of the opaque visor, his gray hair in wild disarray, eyes already pleading for mercy.
Laser cuff this one first.
Two creatures grabbed him.
How dare you! Harry! What the hell are you doing?
A third attached dull silver bands to his wrists and ankles. Then they let him go. Doyle stared uncomprehendingly at the ornaments. They weren't connected to each other. They didn't limit his movement like manacles. What they were supposed to do, or prevent him from doing, he couldn't imagine.
Can you run, Baron?
I can run.
If you make it past that fence over there off the parking lot before I can zap you, I'll let you live. Otherwise, you'll die where you stand. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Dogs, this is a lesson meant for all of you. Watch closely. Feel free to start whenever you're ready, Baron.
Doyle had butterflies in his stomach, and the muscles in his legs were locked tight. He stretched his thighs, first one, then the other, all the while looking over his shoulder at the beast. He had no doubt that clearing the parking lot was his only chance to survive. As he turned away, preparing to make his sprint, the creature lowered its weapon, pointing its muzzle at the ground. The weapon stayed.